former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is hour two of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM alongside Mike Pritchard in for Michael Lombardi today, as he has every Tuesday. Stormy Bonantoni with you. We are live from Circa Resort and Casino, and OTAs, Pritch, got underway yesterday in the NFL. 20 teams yesterday, 10 teams starting off today. The Eagles and Bengals still set to begin later on next week, but we are already having news coming out of these, and we this morning it was Aaron Rodgers reporting for day one of OTAs, and now already apparently he hurt his ankle during a drill, was limping, he is off to the side, stopped working out with the other quarterbacks. We saw this report from Justin Walters. Diana Russini tweeted something very similar, and this is why he doesn't do OTAs, guys.
Is that where we're coming
well from now? I mean, his body's not used to working this way this time of year.
I am not on a football field in May.
No, he's in Hawaii hiking or something like that this time of year. But no, you know, a lot of things here. Number one, this is the reason why the media is not allowed at practice during the season. Could you imagine during the week of practice, after the first 10 minutes, and the media is out there, and there's an injury in practice, right? Which happens all the time. That doesn't mean that the player can't go later on in the week. He just tweaked to something, right? Or his ankle, he got stepped on or whatever. But could you imagine, like, during the week of practice, during the regular season, if you had media out at practice covering every single minute and some player went off to the side? I mean, that would move lines and everything, right? I mean, this is a lot. I mean, look, you got to cover it. You got to do your job and mention it. And
that's why some players don't even come out for the media portion half the time during the season.
In the first 10 years, the first 10 minutes. Right, exactly. I mean, I'll go out there once we start practice. So, and injured guys, for sure, they don't come out that way until after the media leaves. But people are covering it, and it's a story right now. But much to do about nothing at this point for me.
Alan Lazard also reportedly surrounded by trainers at one point at practice today. He was in pain on the ground.
No.
But so two of the newest additions to the Green Bay Packers offense, not off to a hot start on day one of OTAs. But then you have, it's so funny listening to some reports that come out of these things, like Bijan Robinson looking great at stretching portion of media available. Like, what are we? He's looking great at stretching?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's the season of adjetives right now, Stormy. I mean,
we need content.
We need content. Yeah, Bryce Young is fantastic. Your guy is fantastic doing OTAs.
Oh, he has 10 out of 10 command, according to Frank Reich. You'll love to see it. But we'll monitor anything that comes out of OTAs if there's anything more this hour. The Jets, obviously considered one of the teams higher up to be in Super Bowl contention this year. Although I did find it interesting that their odds, at least on DraftKings and some other markets I've seen, went from 14 to 1 to win the Super Bowl to 18 to win this past week. So a little bit of a longer number available on them now. But, Rich.
Yes.
It's Tuesday. And you know what that means, right?
I do.
It's Hot Take Tuesday! Look at the flames. If it's your first time joining us, Hot Take Tuesday is we have a number of takes, and we're trying to determine the level of heat coming off of them. And Pritch, I am going to let you lead us off today.
Well, you know, my hot takes have been on fire.
I am burning on the dance floor.
Yeah, the pressure is building here. So I'm going to see what you guys think on this one. So here you go. Hot Take Tuesday. I'm leading off. I'm at the front of the line. This is the year the Bengals put it all together and become one of the most explosive offenses in the history of the National Football League.
See, okay, so that's what makes it hot.
That's right. I threw that.
The wrinkle.
Yeah, that's
because
the wrinkle.
Is it possible? Is it believed that they're going to be an explosive offense?
Of course, I would say yes.
Right. You have Joe Burrow, who's gone over 4,400 yards, 34 touchdowns each of the last two seasons, led his team to a Super Bowl, two AFC Championship games. You have Jamar Chase, Higgins, Boyd, Joe Mixon, upgraded offensive line, bring in Orlando Brown this offseason. So there's a lot of reasons to believe why, yes, this offense would be good and explosive, but in the history of the NFL.
Yep.
So So if that's what you think, then you're going to be targeting, when these numbers come out, all of the Joe Burrow overs,
oh,
right?
Absolutely.
All of the Ja'Marr Chase overs.
Team overs as well. Team total overs. I mean, you're looking at, what, 11 and a half?
Because you're needing Joe Burrow at this point, if that's what you think, like 50-plus touchdown passes.
Sure.
No?
Yeah, I'm counting on that. I think when you look at the Bengals, right, when they were all 25 years old or younger, I'm talking about Mixon, Burrow, Chase, Higgins, they all did something that's never been done in the history of the National Football League. So now I'm looking for them a few years later to do something that's never been done in the history of the National Football League, and that's to have the most explosive offense. And I think they're prime and ripe to do that with an improved offensive line and improved defense, too, because of injuries. But then also with draft choices, familiarity. And then, you know, just the vibe that they're letting off, too, with players and how they enjoy each other and how, you know, Burrow's going to do what's right for his guys in terms of his contract. Right, and I think that's a huge message, because you know Higgins wants to get paid, and you know certainly you know that Ja'Marr Chase wants to get a big payday, and I think Burrow is look, I want to take make sure I take care of my guys, kind of like what Mahomes did, mm-hmm. right? So I think there's a great feeling in that locker room, and they're just poised, they're just ready to go and explode. They had 12 wins last year. I think they can get to 13 wins this year, which would be incredible. But in order to do that, they need to have an explosive offense, though.
Yeah, and I'm looking through their schedule. It's not like they play a murderer's row of defenses necessarily either.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. History, though? I'm just thinking like Peyton Manning throwing 55 touchdown passes.
Yeah, but Demaryius Thomas, I get it. But Eric Decker and Wes Welker, right? That's what Peyton Manning, that's who he was throwing to. I mean, think about Burrow and Higgins
the
and
weapons.
Boyd and
yeah,
Ja'Marr Chase and... Yeah, and then Mixon, too. So not no knock on Eric Decker. I don't want to, you know, make his wife mad out there. But, no, Demaryius Thomas.
Don't get Jesse James upset.
Don't get her upset. I know about her. But, no, I mean, Demaryius
Thomas. So write a song about you if you do.
Demaryius Thomas was incredible specimen. And we know, and rest in peace, DT. But I think, and Peyton Manning off of those neck surgeries, too. I mean, it was an incredible season. I go back to the greatest show on turf, even. With one of those explosive offenses with Marshall Faulk and
Brady. I would even like, so there's been Brady season there.
Right.
What was that 2018 Patrick Mahomes,
mm-hmm.
that Kansas City
mm-hmm.
offense was
yep.
among those.
They
yeah.
were incredible.
So it's going to be upper echelon for sure. I'll say it's hot because it's history.
Right.
But we do have high expectations for this Bengals team that it would almost be a disappointment if they weren't at least one of the most explosive offenses this season specifically. Okay, let's look at another one that our girl, producer Stephanie Kamerschak, has thrown in to the doc here. Bijan Robinson, rookie out of Texas, will lead the league in rushing yards. That's really hot, but I kind of like it.
It is hot, and I actually kind of like it too, to be honest with you. This guy, he is everything you want in today's NFL with the running back position. It's a juicy number too, right?
Seventh on the odds board, 14 to one.
Yep. That's juicy. I mean, they're going to want to run the ball, between two players last year, Algiers and Cordarrelle Patterson. Patterson got hurt, but I mean, they put up some gaudy numbers. I think if Bijan can be the bell cow, which, why would you put him or take him off the field, especially when you line him up all over the field. And if he gets the bulk of the carries, I can see that happening. I can absolutely see that happening with Arthur Smith and what he wants to do. So I like the number, and I like that take as well. It is hot.
And speaking of, like, what I said about the Bengals not playing a murderer's row of defenses, mm-hmm. look at the Falcons' schedule right now. Lions, Jags, Texans, although D'Amico, Ryans, and Will Anderson should make that defense better.
Mm-hmm.
Titans, Vikings, Cardinals, Colts, Bears. That's eight teams right off the dome for me, looking at their schedule, that are bottom 10, bottom 12 defenses in the National Football League. I'm looking at, I think that's more possible than not, especially we know how Arthur Smith's going to want to utilize him in that run game.
Yeah.
He could get going. Ezekiel Elliott. Did Saquon Barkley lead the league in rushing yards his rookie year? I know Zeke did in 2016. Did Barkley
I think
in 2018?
Saquon was the last running back to win rookie of the year, right? I'm sure his numbers were up there.
I know his yards from scrimmage led the league. I'm just not sure if rushing yards specifically did. But before those two, like, you have to go back to 1999 and Edger and James for a rookie to lead the league in rushing yards. So it's not something that happens particularly often.
A hot take?
It's a hot take.
Yeah.
But I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, here's one that I had for this last minute and a half here. Mm-hmm. That LeBron James, after his media press conference last night, should take a year off. Come back, because we know how much he wants to play with Bronny. Bronny has is entering his freshman year at USC.
USC.
Take a year off. Mm-hmm. Get the body refreshed, healthy. Step away from the game for a little bit. Maybe get your mind back in it. And then come back and play with your son. I'm not a GM, so I don't know how the money works. Don't come for me. I like it. What do you think? He should do that's come on.
Don't come from her.
What's
do
the
that.
Level of heat? What's the level of heat?
You know, that's a sneaky hot take. I'm not gonna lie. That's a sneaky hot take. Only because nobody else is thinking that way. Right? You've kind of outside the box with the hot take here. That's interesting to think about. Like, and you're making me think about it even. That's why it's a hot take. And it makes
we
sense
don't have
too.
Michael Lombardi on the program to GM us on this one. I don't know the dollars and cents of it
all.
But I think, like, for a guy who in his post-game press conference yesterday said he has a lot to think about.
Right. So it'd be paid leave then? Is that
he got money?
He has money. He does. You're right. You're right. So it doesn't have to be a paid leave necessarily. Like, let me just nix this last year of my contract, take a year off, and then I'll come back and do whatever.
Yeah.
That's making it even a hotter take.
He doesn't need it, right?
He does not.
He wants to play with his son.
Right.
He's 38 years old. Yeah. Maybe after getting swept in the playoffs, and you know, you don't want to go out that way permanently.
Right. No.
Right.
No. Yep.
But you're not ready to jump with like both feet in right now. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Heat it up, baby.
It is a hot.
That's what we call Hot Take Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. We are up against it. That music always telling me to shut up. I thought we were having fun there. But we will return in a moment on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see the changes in action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where that money doesn't match up with the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a more informed, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. And it's important to remember, too, betting splits are a tool that help us understand where money is moving. It'll be good when we talk to Josh Applebaum in about 15 minutes of how to use that tool to your favor and really understand what the numbers mean instead of just being like, oh, this is this. No, it's not. It's not always that way.
Right, right.
There's more to it sometimes.
Oh, great point.
Let's get into a new segment that we have had in our back pocket for a hot minute. I'm very excited to finally bring it to the public, called Respectful or Rude. Rude.
Rude.
Got to get deep with the voice on that one.
Okay.
Respectful or rude. Looking at some futures prices in the NFL, specifically looking at whether or not a team is going to make the playoffs. And if this is, it's a respectful number, it's understanding, it seems about right. Or if it's just wrong.
Or just damn rude.
Yes, if it's just dang rude, how can we do this to somebody? So let's start with the ye old Houston Texans. Mm. No expectations for this squad and their rookie quarterback and their new head coach aren't expected to be particularly high. But it's a $7 price.
Right.
So you'd bet $700 to win 100 back for this team to miss the playoffs. It's a division that's still supposed to be, you know, not great.
Not great.
Like, is it that unlikely that they can't overcome?
I mean, you know what, Stormy? It feels like a lot of these situations are going to be both respectful and damn rude. because, yeah, you know, you got optimism out there in Houston right now. We got quarterback finally, you think. D'Amico Ryan's head coach, a lot of momentum, right? But there's so many unknowns still, and it's a terrible organization. So to me, it's both. It's respectful.
I like what you said. It's a terrible organization.
Right. It's respectful because it is minus 700. But I mean, it's probably rude though. It's probably rude to make you pay that much because this team's going to miss the playoffs.
I think so too. Yeah, and I have a lot of like reason for optimism about the Houston Texans, I think, because I do feel like D'Amico Ryans should shore up this defense a bit.
Right.
I like C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, who they grabbed off the top of the draft. You add Devin Singletary in the run game, have Damian Pierce, get Robert Woods, looking at some other of their re-sign Laremy Tunsil. Noah Brown was a sneaky little add there as well. Hopefully John Mechie is good. Their offensive coordinator also coming over, Bobby Slowick from San Francisco, who was fantastic against Kyle Shanahan. There's more reasons than not, I feel. And it is optimism season, don't get me wrong. But $7 seems pretty expensive, especially with, fun fact, while yes, the Houston Texans were 3-13-1 last year, they actually had a winning record in this division that you see in front of you in the AFC South. 3-2-1 against division teams.
Yeah.
0-11 against everyone else. But if you step up in the division, who knows what could happen?
Well, the last few years, they've been competitive within a division too, right? I mean, a division is horrible too, by the way. But to your point.
That's why the Jags are -160 to win the division already.
Yeah, but to your point, I mean, pay that much for them to miss the playoffs, which everybody's anticipating them missing the playoffs anyway. That's why I think it's rude, you know, from that
Jags
standpoint.
Jags get a first-place schedule. Texans get a last-place schedule. Door's not closed, people. I can just see everybody sitting in their car driving around right now like, this girl's on the crack pipe. So let's move on to the next one. Respectful or rude? Ravens are -150 to make the playoffs. They have not missed the postseason since Lamar Jackson has been with the team. Should this number not be bigger?
Well, here's why. I mean, they're getting a lot of respect, so I'm going to throw respectful. Because, I mean, it's Harbaugh. It's a cultured division. And it is Lamar Jackson with a new contract. No distractions that way.
He did show up at OTAs
finally,
today, by the way.
Finally.
There we go.
All right, new
offense. No ankle tweak we know of for him.
No thigh contusion, nothing. So, yeah, I mean, we have a new coordinator situation, new offense, you know, new players to get along with and bond with. And right, what Ravens have never missed a playoff since Jackson's been with the team. So it's just respectful. I just think the Bengals are going to be that kind of team, right, this year. And I think the Steelers are on the come up. So
I agree. And you've got a wild card in the Browns as well.
Maybe. Depending on Deshaun.
Well, that's why it's a wild card.
The wild card. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun is a wild card.
Yes. That's what kind of what I meant there, that he could be a player that was one of the best quarterbacks in the entire league, like he was a few years ago.
Right.
Or he could be, you know, still trying to figure out what life is like after missing in so much time on the football field. Like, that offense was not good last year. It's no secret. But this year, who knows?
And then throw in Stefanski, which he needs to be better this year, too, as a head coach. But no, I think that's respectful, though. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that it's very respectful. Okay. Given the division, like we said, the Steelers did so many good things to answer questions in the draft. Year two of Kenny Pickett. We know Tomlin and his record of always having over 500 seasons and being competitive and having potential for a playoff spot. So I think it's respectful that it's an odds-on number for them to make the postseason.
Exactly.
How about the Patriots? -265 to miss the playoffs. I know they play in what could be the toughest division in football this year.
Right.
But it's still Belichick. Respectful or rude?
Well, it's rude because it's Belichick, right? I mean, how the hell are you going to put that on Bill Belichick, the GOAT? -265 missed playoffs. And, you know, the thing about that thinking, though, too, right, is that implying that he's going to make the playoffs. Is the wild card, here we go with wild card again, Mac Jones and that relationship along with O'Brien. I mean, it's an upgrade. Coordinator knows what he's doing. But this team could miss the playoffs, in my opinion, too, though. I know some people are high on Belichick and the Patriots and I guess adults in the room, if you will, from an offensive standpoint.
They
have a tough schedule.
Look at even their first four weeks of the season. Against a team that just played for a Super Bowl. You have the Dolphins, who are going to have, at least you would anticipate, Tua Tagovailoa healthy to begin with. And we know how productive they were when he was available at the Jets with Aaron Rodgers, anticipating that they get off to a good start, a team that's getting a lot of respect. And then the Cowboys, who are another team that people think very highly of. The Saints, even despite playing in the NFC South, and we all on paper kind of think of that division as so bad, have made significant improvements coming into this season. So it's not easy by any means. And I know the Patriots have one of the hardest schedules in the entire football league this year.
Is there a chance that the division can come down to where the Patriots are, though? Like, in other words, the optimism with Aaron Rodgers is not really materializing. It's not
right. The Bills take a step back, like a lot of
which
people
I think
have anticipated.
We end up getting
the Mike White led Dolphins.
Sure, right. Then the Dolphins with Tua, right? Exactly. So, I mean, if it comes down, and that's the situation right there, in terms of making the playoffs, it's a plus number, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Here's where I understand the thinking. It seems like it's rude, but the conclusion of it all could be respectful.
Okay.
That's why I think there could be both of these, rude and respectful, but because we're dealing with Bill Belichick here.
Yes, and this is a very, like you said, it's a very interesting division with a lot of unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
Since I mentioned the Saints in the NFC South, how about the Atlanta Falcons, plus 125 to make the playoffs? They almost snuck in last year.
Right.
The division, again, on paper, seems pretty wide open with mm-hmm. the teams that you have there. I personally prefer the Carolina Panthers if I had to make a bet in that division as a longer shot. But plus 125, respectful or rude for Atlanta and their new stud running back,
right,
Bijan Robinson.
Right. Well, I think it's respectful.
And the easiest schedule in the league as well.
Sure. And comfort with that schedule. Because back in, two bad weather games at the Jets and then at the Bears, depending on what happens, right? Two potentially bad weather games. But if you can run the football, that doesn't really matter. But look at how the schedule benefits the Falcons here. They just need to win maybe two more games. I'll throw in three more games this season to get to 10 wins to be comfortable. But if they get to 9 wins, I think that's respectful, plus 125 to make the playoffs.
Last minute, so you get like 20 seconds each on these. Rams plus 250 to make the playoffs, respectful or rude? I don't think that number's high enough.
It's not high enough. Nope. We'll leave it at that.
Too much respect. Is that an option?
Sure.
Give me five to one on that,
right,
and then
maybe
I'll take a flyer. Actually, still probably not. Bears plus 160 to make the playoffs. A lot of people think Justin Fields could make that leap.
Dan Orlovsky.
I know Jalen Hurts did it.
Right.
And I understand that proves that it's possible. But just because something's possible doesn't mean it's going to happen.
It's going to be probable, right? I mean, then the division, too, you factor that in there as well. I think all these teams are pretty much even on paper, in my opinion. The difference is going to be the quarterback play.
The NFC North is a weird division.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Life without Aaron Rodgers for the Green Bay Packers to where they are the longest shot. So odd. But they don't have to play Rodgers anymore, who they've been owned by, if you recall.
Sure.
We're going to take a quick step aside. We mentioned those betting splits off the top. What's the latest market insights from our guy Josh Applebaum with two important conference finals games in the NBA and NHL ahead tonight?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all of the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page where you can sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can also check the top VSiN experts leaderboard out where now you can view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today, just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Alongside Mike Pritchard, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line. Bring in great friend of the show like we do every Tuesday, Josh Applebaum, host of the VSiN Morning Bets podcast, as well as the Market Insights pod, available wherever you get your podcast, and author of the Everything Guide to Sports Betting. Josh Applebaum, ladies and gentlemen, how are you today?
Appreciate that golf clap, Stormy. Pritch, it's great to be with you. How are you guys?
Great.
Well, we're good. And I got to check in on you with the Celtics down 3-0. Need to see how are you okay? Are you a functioning human being? What's going on in the world of Josh Applebaum?
So, Stormy, I tell you what, my futures ticket is on life support. There's barely a heartbeat on my Celtics future. I got a plus 360 the day Massachusetts legalized betting. They're like plus 105, plus 110. Now they're all the way up to, what are they, plus 1600. So, I heard a rumor that Will Hill might like the Celtics tonight, mm-hmm. and he may even like the series price, which Steph, our producer, told me. I don't know if I'm going to pick them to win this series, but I do like them tonight, guys. Pritch, you know me. I love a hazmat play. I love a play that is so disgusting, so gross, that people just laugh at you and say you're totally insane and totally crazy, but there is a method to the madness. So what I'm looking at here for tonight, guys, is number one, isn't this line really, really fishy? Why is it only Miami minus 1.5? Miami has been head and shoulders the better team this series. Jimmy Butler has gotten whatever he's wanted. Jaylen Brown, Tatum have not played to their performance here that you've seen historically. There's questions about Mazzulla. This team just looks left for dead. It looks like they quit. You had Barkley and all these analysts call them out on national TV. It feels like this is a sweep. It's over, right? But what's the betting market telling us? The betting market, number one, really hasn't moved off to 1.5. What's notable to me is you kind of have a line freeze here, which is when you have heavy betting one side, but the line really doesn't budge much off the opener, because this game opened Heat -1, -1.5, really. At one point, it did get up to Heat -2, even touched 2.5, but now it's back down to 1.5. So what's notable to me is, I always make this analogy, you walk into any bar across America tonight, everyone's got a Jimmy Butler jersey. They're saying the easiest bet in the world tonight is to take Miami. However, with almost 80% of bets, huge public play on the Heat, why are we back down to 1.5? Like, shouldn't we be up to, you know, Heat -3, -4? Really, to me, it was that buyback on Celtics +2, bringing it back down to 1.5 that really caught my eye. So the Celtics are in a really good contrarian spot here, just from a bet against the public standpoint. They have a little bit of late movement in their favor. And also, guys, it's kind of the value of the number, because this is actually the first time all postseason where Boston is a dog. They've been in 15 games, favored in all 15. In this series, they've laid a 9.5, an 8.5, a 4.5. Now they're getting 1.5. So it's no longer the, you know, you have to cover this number as a favorite. Now it's no one believes in you. So you can kind of play that card. And also, that's a huge adjustment, a 6-point adjustment from the last game to this game. So I'll take the points with Boston, the 1.5 here, guys. I'll hold out if I can find a 2. But here's what you're also looking at. Conference finals dogs. You saw it again last night with the Denver Nuggets. They're now 7-0, a perfect 7-0, taking the points in the conference finals. No help, thanks to the Celtics here. It's been the Heat and the, you know, Lakers and Nuggets covering those numbers as dogs. But also Boston, in this spot, they were 8-1 against the spread in the regular season as a dog, and they've very rarely been a dog in the situation. So if you're giving me the most heavily bet game of the night, everyone's telling me the Celtics are terrible, which that's what they've looked like recently, but you're in a contrarian angle, you're getting a little bit of buyback here, I'll take the 1.5. And this one's for Steph. Steph, do not let the Celtics win tonight, because if they do, we got Pedro tomorrow, Schilling in game 6, and then anything can happen in a game 7.
I mean, Josh, you such a lot of data right there. And I got this question for you, because as a data-driven bettor, I mean, okay, so game 3, there was a significant line movement in that situation, and we saw what happened in the outcome of that game too. And so, and you're right, I mean, Miami now being a favorite at home here, it seems like it could be out of whack. But I just wonder, with so much adjustment going on with this series in the market, like, from a data standpoint, how do you come to that conclusion? I mean, obviously, you're just separating each and every game as they go.
Yeah, Pritch, it's a great question, because I think you can look at sports betting a couple different ways. So number one, it's, you know, what do you think? What do you feel? What do you expect to happen? What have you seen recently? You know, you see this a lot in the NFL, and you, Pritch, you know this. You had a bad, you know, week last week. People are going to want to bet against you. You had a good week, they're going to want to bet on you. But one thing that I've learned a long time ago is try to put your bias aside. Like, my bias tells me Celtics are terrible right now. I mean, if you tune into talk radio over the last few days, just everyone's calling in, bashing the Celtics. They're not just upset. They're mad. They're annoyed. This is a team that has so much talent and just has no heart. So kind of the eye test tells you, you know, it's Heat all day. But one thing that I've kind of learned along the way is, you know, try to put that bias aside. What's the market doing? And the market's telling me you have heavy betting on Miami, yet they really haven't moved much off the opener. So I'll put on the hazmat suit one more time, guys. I'll take the Celtics here, +1.5. And then also keep an eye on the total. You did see quite a bit of over action here come in. Total opened as low as 215, got up to 216.5. Even 217, there's a little buyback on that under 217. But you have seen the over go 3-0 this series. I think it's about 85% bets, 90% money on the over. So this is a big pro and Joe play with more points here expected. And then also the Celtics 11-3 to the over their last 14. They're 6-1 to the over their last 7 on the road. The Heat are 5-1 to the over their last 6. So a lot of indicators to the over. Just kind of tough now to lay to take the 216.5 when it opened 215. But again, backs against the wall. Here's the other thing, guys. Celtics have a lot of pressure on them. The pressure's kind of off of them now. I mean, people expect them to lose. They've already written them off. Maybe that allows them to play a little bit more free tonight. Hopefully that is maybe part of the cap here to take the Celtics and the points.
Here with VSiN sports betting analyst Josh Applebaum at Josh_insights joining us on the Lombardi line. This is VSiN. Well, we have the Miami Heat, who are up 3-0. The Denver Nuggets, who win in a 4-game sweep of the Los Angeles Lakers. The Florida Panthers up 3-0 against the Carolina Hurricanes in the NHL. And then tonight, The Golden Knights go on the road to Dallas up 2-0 with a chance to make it 3 as a slight underdog in this spot. What are the numbers telling you about the Western Conference Final in the NHL?
So first off, why did my Bruins let go of Bruce Cassidy? That's my first question right off the bat here, guys. But jokes aside, I'm on the Dallas Stars tonight. I like the Stars in this spot for a couple reasons. Number one, you know, you're down 0-2, you're going home. The big angle for me, two things. One is the line move. You actually saw the Dallas Stars open as low as like minus 130, minus 135. I bet them this morning on the morning bets pod at minus 140, and I'm now starting to see them get up to minus 145. So there's been pretty consistent movement on Dallas without really any buyback whatsoever. Using our VSiN.com bet splits directly from DraftKings, pretty good bet split. It's only about 51% of bets on Dallas, so the public's pretty much split. You know, how do you not take VGK and some plus money here? I totally get that. But even though it's only, you know, 50-50 down the middle tickets, 68% of the money here is on Dallas. So you've seen that little bit of low bets, higher dollar bet discrepancy in favor of the Stars. Then also a couple of good system matches. One would be desperate off a loss. If you are coming off a loss and you're a favorite and, you know, your season's on the line, you got to flush the last game out and, you know, you really got to focus on this one. Those teams are 20-10 this postseason, 67%. If you are off a loss with steam 10 cents or more, those teams are 18-6, 75%. So that would both match with Dallas tonight. And then also, Dallas has been really Jekyll and Hyde home and road. On the road, they're only 3-5 this postseason. At home, they're 5-2. And they obviously get the last ice change here, so you can kind of play your matchup. So I'll take Dallas here. I got a minus 140. I love the fact this thing is creeping up further toward the Stars.
You know, Josh, like Will Hill, you got a baseball play too. So let's get to baseball with the White Sox and the Guardians here. The Guardians at home, minus 125. 8's the total. Where are you going?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Cleveland here in this one. This one's for our buddy Adam Burke, the Clevelander. So I like the Guardians in this spot. You saw a pretty good move in favor of Cleveland. They open around a very short minus 110, minus 115 home favorite here. And actually blanked them, the White Sox last night. They won 3-0, so maybe a little momentum carrying into today. But after a very low opener, you know, minus 115-ish, they're now up to minus 125. You know, we're showing even a minus 135 on our board. So this line's moving pretty big here in favor of the Guardians. A couple reasons to like the Guardians. Number one, Dylan Cease. He was great last year, but he hasn't been as good this year. He's been getting knocked around. He's 2-3 with a 4.78 ERA. In the month of May, in 4 starts, he has an ERA of over 5.5. Meanwhile, Logan Gilbert, who's pitching for the Guardians today, 1-1, 3.04 ERA. So he's been pretty good this season. And this is kind of a fade of the White Sox in this spot. When they're a dog, they're only 7-22 this season. On the road, they're just 7-17. And against lefties, they're 2-7. So kind of a bet against Chicago. We got a line move toward Cleveland. It's a pretty low number here, kind of just a little bit of a high juice price here on like a regular spread or total. And then also rested bullpen. Last 3 games, Cleveland's only pitched 5 innings out of their pen versus 13 for Chicago. So we got a rested bullpen on paper, hopefully at least. In reality, we have a better pitching match on the bump, and we have some angles here to take the Guardians. So I'm going to go Guardians, guys. Got them a little earlier today around minus 125.
Last minute here, Josh. We were talking about it in the commercial break. You're getting married this summer, coming up soon. How's the bachelor party planning going?
It's going not that great, Stormy. I tell you what, there's sweats when you're betting on sports. There's sweats when you're going to tie the knot. It's ridiculous here. We got all these different things you got to get, you know, squared away. We got to make all the payments. We're starting to get everything together. It's just weirdly, I'm okay with the wedding. It's the bachelor party. I'm trying to get all my friends across the country to come to Fenway Park. I'm trying to get like a 15-pack of tickets. We're going to go to Cask and Flagon. So wish me luck, guys. Hopefully, you know, you don't see me too drunk on Lansdowne Street in about a month.
I hope I do. Like, that's what I'm looking for, Josh. Awesome stuff. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Josh Applebaum, give him a follow at Josh_insights, and make sure you check out the Morning Bets and Market Insights podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. We got to step aside. Wrapping up final thoughts on today's conference final matchups in the NBA and NHL ahead as we close up the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert those BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located right here on the Las Vegas Strip as well as nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And Pritch, I know you're only on the show with us for the full 2 hours one day a week, but something that has become a well-known fact and staple about me on this program is that I am terrible at these reads to open up each segment. And I was so nervous for that one just now because I haven't messed up a read all day. I messed up some other things because I am an awkward human being, but I didn't stutter on one read today, and I am the proudest person on the planet right now.
I'm glad you noted that. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that because that's something that, you know, each and every show you probably have a goal that you want to reach, right? And that's not stumbling through a read, right? Am I right on that?
Right.
Okay.
It's the little things. You got to get
absolutely
through them.
Absolutely. I get
so
you.
So I'm very excited
that's
about
a long
this
read, too, though.
Yeah, that's a... it's a mouthful. But there's some reads that there's like a ton of phone numbers and states. I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. But today we did it, people, and I am living on cloud nine. Let's get to our pro tip.
Okay.
We do one of these every single show. Every show on the network does them, just trying to have some fun little tidbits to help making betting a little bit easier on a given day. And today's pro tip was with regards to the NBA's Eastern Conference final game coming up today with the Miami Heat and Boston Celtics. Looking specifically at role players, and role players, Pritch, have been coming up big for the Heat so far in this series. We know how much they've played better at home as well. And so it might be worth targeting some of these players whose markets haven't adjusted, really, despite them playing better, to look to bet their overs. I think Caleb Martin was a guy that I mentioned earlier in the program that could be an interesting player to buy in on. His points prop tonight sitting at 11.5. He scored 15 or more every single game of this series, including coming off of an 18-point game. He's been great from three-point range. There are some opportunities, I think, with role players in this game, specifically for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I like that tip right here, Stormy, because just building on that, too, I mean, opportunity for these role players. I mean, look at the minutes on the floor for Martin. Last game, he had 35 minutes on the floor. I mean, certainly Spoelstra is going to identify that. So opportunities for some of these role players. I mentioned Lowry earlier. As well, you know, the minutes on the floor from that standpoint. Yep. And then, you know, you look at Boston and what's going to happen, I believe, for them to win. And from a coaching standpoint, the adjustments that need to take place too, which role player is going to have the opportunity on the floor? Minutes increase or decrease from a starting standpoint or a minute standpoint from a bench player. So, yeah, certainly the opportunity for role players are there to take advantage of that.
Free betting daily tips at vsin.com, searchable by sport and by show as well. But we talk a lot about with this Miami Heat team too, that they are a group of guys with a chip on their shoulder, not only for the way that they've been doubted coming into the postseason because they are an 8 seed. They didn't have the regular season that you would want. We talk about the injuries that they had to face. They were a very, like, not a very particularly productive offense throughout the course of the regular season, one of the worst, if not, I think they were the worst ATS record in the NBA. But another part of this chip on their shoulder mentality is these players that weren't drafted, right? And I know they don't like that being pushed as a narrative for them in the media, but these undrafted players have been fantastic just in that last game. And I know the fourth quarter is a little bit different because it wasn't all of the star power out there on the court, but they combined to score 81 points in game three, which was the most in a postseason game by undrafted players in the common draft era. So some of these players that you might not know as star-studded in the association have been playing really, really well.
Yeah, I go back to comfort and lack of comfort on the floor when it comes to basketball. To me, I get simple with it because, you know, for so many contributors for Miami, increased minutes or whatever combinations you're going to go with Spoelstra, the Celtics are allowing that to happen defensively, right? And so is it a matchup thing? I don't think it's a matchup thing. I just think it's a lack of stellar defense by the Celtics thing. And then if you look at what the Miami Heat can do defensively against the Celtics, I mean, they have one or two options, really. And so if you can defend those or make it tough or uncomfortable for those one or two options for Celtics, okay, who else is going to step up in a significant way? And that has not happened. That certainly hasn't happened so far in this series. So to me, Miami has the ability to focus in on two factors, Brown and Tatum. Whereas the Celtics, they have to factor in and manage and navigate multiple players and certainly situations for the Heat. So I think that gets difficult for Boston.
It's the Heat or nothing for me tonight. And I know both of our guests, both Will Hill and Josh Applebaum, have come on and they like the Celtics today. They're taking the +1.5 with Boston. I get that their backs are up against the wall. I get that they don't want to get embarrassed and swept in this spot. See if they can bring out a little, like, the narrative side of things certainly makes sense.
Right.
But when Josh was talking about the market for today and how it is, it's fishy that this line has, if anything, come down from what we saw at one point yesterday at a 2.5 at some spots with the Miami Heat being favored, that we're sitting here at a 1.5 now, and the majority of money is coming in on the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. The market was wrong last game, though, too.
Right.
And we saw that number get bet up from the Boston Celtics as a 2.5-point favorite to a 4.5-point favorite. And so many of us were wondering, like, how are the Heat not favored in this spot because of what they did at TD Garden, coming back home in a whiteout and X, Y, and Z. And the market ended up being wrong. Mm-hmm. Bettors ended up being wrong. So it's I don't really know how to read the numbers when it comes to this type of thing. So I'm just following my eyes right now, and my eyes tell me that Miami's the better team.
Well, my eyes and ears, too. I mean, Miami, they've been playing better. They've been playing more like a team than Boston has. And one of the things I remember about
Boston might be more talented. But
definitely more talented.
Different. Yeah, that's
sure.
A different thing.
But options go so far with Boston and that talent. I mean, I think something that's resonated with me from Tatum when they got booed at home, and he mentioned that at the podium. So it does not escape me that some of the fellas in that locker room for Boston are going to be thinking about that. Do we lose here in Miami and not be worried about booing, getting booed at home? Because game five, we go back to Boston, and then all of a sudden they lose up there. Miami goes on to the conference final or the NBA finals. They're going to get booed off the court, and they know that. And I wonder how many guys are buying into that fact and how many guys are weak-minded that way. I guess that's the best way to sum it up for Boston. It feels like there's a number of guys on that roster that could be thinking about the fact that we could get booed off the floor after game five.
Yeah, so we'll just have to wait and see how things play out ultimately. Total in tonight's game sitting 216. We also have game three in the NHL's Western Conference Final coming up tonight. The Vegas Golden Knights, a +120 dog in Dallas, taking on the Stars. -140 favorite, total 5.5. Puck drop at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern on ESPN. And I've gone back and forth a number of times on this one just because the Stars have been really good at home. Jake Oettinger had his streak broken of bounce-back performances, but he is so good off of a loss in general. But, I mean, home ice advantage hasn't really mattered for the VGK on the road. They're 4-1 away from T-Mobile Arena this postseason. So I'm not really sure if I'm going to get involved on a side in this one. I took the Golden Knights in both games to start the series, and I felt good about it, and they ended up coming away with the overtime wins. But game one in Dallas does feel like it could be a great opportunity for the Stars here tonight. I'm just not sure if I want to bet it at that price.
I need a question answered because I'm leaning towards the Knights here. Because I saw in game two where they only had 10 shots on goal after two periods, but they prevail in overtime. They win in overtime. Now, I'm thinking Oettinger and certainly the defense from the Stars was just making it so difficult for the Knights. But I want to ask you, it seems like the Knights feel like, especially their scorers, feel like they know how to score against Oettinger, right? They know how to place the puck against that guy.
Well, and it's interesting. I love that you said that because something that has happened to the Golden Knights year after year when they have been in the Western Conference Final is a hot goalie gets them caught up or the production offensively just isn't there and they just feel like they're constantly searching for goals. Right. I don't feel that for this team this year. They have that extra level, and I don't know if it is the addition of Jack Eichel and the confidence that he brings with him on the ice or Mark Stone being healthy right now and the way that he leads these guys, but they don't seem to be searching for offense the way that they have in previous Western Conference Finals past, which is why I do kind of like T team total over 2.5 goals, maybe, okay, for the Golden Knights tonight. They have scored 3+ goals in 4 straight, as well as 10 of 13 games this postseason. And I'm also looking at a Jonathan Marchessault shots on goal prop over 3.5 is +115. I know that's a high number, and he's coming off games where he only had 2 and 3 respectively, but he's averaging 3.9 shots on goal per game this postseason, has 6 games with 5+. In fact, his average on the road has been better than at home, averaging 5.2 shots on goal per game on the road. So Johnny Marchi, help me get the plus money price. I appreciate you. That's a wrap for today's edition of the Lombardi Line. Shout out Mike Pritchard for joining us, as he always does. You got more VSiN coming up next.